You could probably go there just to watch a little bit about. There's not. The Balkans have a lot of conflicts. And
there's most of them. Yeah.
I got to call from the Lord to go there. I don't want to get us up. I'll be sorry.
There's Cyprus.
Okay.
So we don't know a whole lot about them. Interesting, though, I want to start off with. Well, let's start off with what Jesus says. He refers to in Revelation, in the first chapter, refers to him having eyes like blazing fire and feet like burnished bronze. He brings that up again. And those are often symbols, those are symbols of judgment. He sees everything. He's established. He's unstoppable. That feet like bronze is you know, he can't be tripped up or hindered or stopped. Symbolic of.
Okay.
So it's quite a powerful thing to say. That he says he knows their deeds, and he, interesting to contrast them, contrast Thyatira with Ephesus. Because Ephesians were doing a lot of things right, but they didn't have love. Thyatira seems to be doing a lot of, he starts off, I know your deeds. Your love and your faith and your service and your perseverance. And you're doing even more than you did at first. He tells the Ephesians, you need to go back and do things like you were at first. He tells Thyatira, you're doing even better than where you started. You're doing a great job loving, but you've allowed false teachers to be in there. So whereas Ephesus was really good at guarding against false teachers, but they lost their love, Thyatira has the opposite problem. They're really good at love, but they're allowing false teachers to be in there. So it's a great example of the balance that we need to strike, even today. Like, yes, we want to love people, but sometimes you have to put your foot down and say something's wrong. We touched on that a little bit, didn't we, a few minutes ago. You got to protect your people. Yes, you want to be loving, but you also got to protect it. So they had a prophetess. And Jesus calls her Jezebel. Now, it's kind of unclear, was that actually her name? Probably not. He's probably labeling her. That would have been, imagine receiving this letter. Here's there's a prominent woman prophetess, and Jesus compares her to Jezebel. And you're like, oh. we know who he's talking about, but wow. That's quite a name to be called. So just by way of review, Jezebel was the wife of Ahab. They ruled over Israel during the time of Elijah. And she was exceedingly wicked. She had people murdered. She had an entire staff of prophets to Baal and to Ashtoreth. She instituted worshiping, what's interesting, she instituted worship Israel worshiping the Queen of Heaven, a goddess figure. That we'll get back to that in a second. So Jesus says, brings, let me see if I've got the next. Yeah. So this woman is a self-proclaimed prophetess, and she's teaching them, though, to be sexually immoral and participate in idol worship. So again, we have the same problem that Pergamos was having. The sin of Balaam. Even similar to the Nicolaitans issues, the sexual immorality, and this, when it says eating food sacrificed to idols, it means participating in the worship system. That was part of the worship system. It's like, hey, you're participating in this idol worship, and she's teaching you to do this. She's also practicing adultery, a lot of and sexual promiscuity with members of the church. I mean, this is pretty bad stuff going on. So she set up this false teaching. She apparently claims to be teaching the secret, the deep secrets of Satan. But Jesus warns people, you need to repent and stay away from her. Those of you who are following her, you need to repent because I'm going to bring judgment on her.
And they're already in trouble for allowing her to work and perform. Yeah,
to allow her to be operating in their church. They should not be allowed at all.
Right.
It says, I have this against you. You tolerate this you. It doesn't even say you condone it. It's just the fact that you tolerate it is a problem. The fact that you allow it to happen in your church. See, he says, I'm going to cast her on a bed of suffering, make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely. I'm going to strike her children. NIV says, I will strike her children dead. And the other translation says, I will strike her children with death. Which is also interesting. So,
saying the same thing?
Yeah, I'll get back to that in a second.
Okay.
So he's telling them, hey, you got to repent. Anybody associated, she's going to be judged. Anybody associated with her is going to be judged. So now, for those of you who are not participating in her teachings, I'm not going to put anything else on you. So I'll put no other burden on you. Just hang on to what you have. Okay? He has nothing else really to say to the... he has no other correction for those who are not following her. There are parts of the church that have it right. Now, this parallels the church age of during the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages, from roughly 600 to mid-1500s. During that time, the Catholic Church instituted the worship of Mary as the Queen of Heaven, just like Jezebel did. During that time, the Black Death struck Europe and brought judgment on that area, that area of the Catholic Church, worshiping a goddess instead of worshiping God. So the parallels are very interesting.
Yeah.
So it's not only does it apply to them, but it was prophetically speaking of that church age, saying allowing this Jezebel figure, this person who promotes this worshiping the Queen of Heaven, is going to bring judgment on you. And that's exactly what happened.
Who's the Queen of Heaven based on?
That is a theme. It's a long-running theme. It goes all the way back to...
I know the occult stuff, it's like Sophia or something like that, or even like other...
Lots of names.
Like
lots of...
Yeah. Stuff. I don't know.
It's all the way... You find there's a lot of Queen of Heaven, something very demonic behind it, because it keeps popping up everywhere.
Yeah.
There's a lot of it in South America. And then when Catholicism came in, they replaced the Queen of Heaven. They had these female goddesses they replaced with Mary.
Nimrod's, or the woman, what's her name? Do you remember?
What, Nimrod's woman?
Yeah, Nimrod's wife or something. The one that...
It also manifests itself in the Mother Earth,
yeah.
The environment. Environment.
Well, I think there's something to it, not as a deity, but it's part of creation, though, where it's almost like this is the womb, and you know that's why the birth pains and stuff like that, where we actually be birthed into what we're really being. Born into, you know what I mean? Like this is the womb right now.
Few planets to support life. That's the Earth. Yeah.
Samarius was Noah's granddaughter.
Samaria.
Yes, Samaria.
Samaria.
Was the wife of Nimrod. Yeah.
Samarius.
Senirimis.
Samarius. Yeah.
Samarius.
Yeah.
There's a long running all way back to. To Israel and Judah were worshiping this, and I think it does go all the way back. To,
yeah,
because probably even pre-flood.
Yeah,
but they're a female pagan deity.
That was right before all the confusion of languages and the split offs of stuff, and that's why we have the same kind of similar story in all these different cultures and stuff. But it's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Horus and all those. Dionysus, those different types of things, but then again, like those aren't all exactly the same. But people like to say that
still see common. You see common themes. You can go into some very old cultures in South America, and you see similar things to what Egypt was doing.
Yeah,
there are certain parallels that come from that. Exactly,
right.
Come from
even
in Noah's grandson.
Native American culture has worship of the goddess in the sky. So, yeah.
So. That, now, let's get to the part where he talks about the reward. to him who overcomes. And when it says overcomes, the commentaries point out that John's other writings, John's other letters, talk about overcoming the world, which means staying faithful to Christ. So when he's talking about to those who overcome, he's saying those who stay faithful to Christ and do not lose to the corruption of the world, do not fall into the corruption of the world. So to those who overcome and do my will to the end, I will give them authority over nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter, will dash them to pieces like pottery. One other thing I did want to mention, some people want to talk about, I'm going to jump back here, they want to talk about a spirit of Jezebel. They say, is this referring to a spirit? No, because he gave this invisible opportunity to repent.
Time
to repent. Demons don't repent.
Right.
So, wasn't a spirit, it was a person. He gave her time to repent, she wouldn't. So he's like, judgment's coming now. Here's your time. I hit that wrong button again.
Well, this similar
so
thing.
What spirit would it be then? Just the lust that was oppressing her?
There's no indication that there necessarily was. He doesn't refer to any spirits.
Well, the same kind of, you know, like the John the Baptist, the spirit that he had,
the
spirit of Elijah, right? Jezebel had that certain type of spirit of her, and this woman's doing the same kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so, in a sense, like, she'd have that kind of same portion of a spirit, but not, but she was her own person, obviously.
Yep.
You know?
That's a good point. You could definitely, a person can be following the footsteps of someone else, be operating the same way. May even be demonic influences over the generations.
I think anything that takes away in a spiritual manner away from the worship of the Almighty is definitely inspired by the doctrine.
But some people don't want to treat this as a real person. They only treat it as a spirit. And there was an actual person involved in this.
Right. And so it's showing us that it's physically happened in the body of Christ. It's physically happened in the church.
Yeah.
And we didn't stop and say, you've got to stop this or you get out.
Right.
We said, we're just letting it happen.
Right.
I don't know.
I think it's.
But I'm sure she was operating with Satan.
What was the question?
With that type of spirit.
Maybe not even
we
knowing
don't know.
It. Who knows?
We don't know.
I mean,
I believe she was.
So, just to recap what I was saying, it parallels the Catholic Church during the time of the Middle Ages, during the time of the Black Death plague. Gives them no other burden onto what they have. What they had was love and faith and service and perseverance. What he says at the beginning, he says, those of you who have those things and you're not following her, you hang on to those. He's like, I'm not going to put anything else on you, just stay faithful. Now to the rewards. Now, Jesus quotes Psalm 2:9, where it talks about Christ ruling with an iron scepter. He tells the people who overcome that they will do this. So it is a speaking to us ruling and reigning with Christ, under his authority. From his authority, we those who are faithful, will have authority over the nations. Seems to refer to
I remember that from one of Chad's sermons. It's a picture I picked out that it took a while to find, but of like an actual mace like type of scepter type thing. Yeah, like somebody ruling would have that could be a weapon, but is also like a worldly staff.
Symbol of authority and also functions as a weapon.
Yeah. The question I had about this that's always. It's stuck in my mind ever since I've read all the verses concerning the morning star or the day star, where it's written about how I think it's when it actually calls the devil Lucifer, it's a Roman term for the this one or right one or something like that. how it's called the morning or the son of dawn, the day star, or something
day
like
star.
That. Yeah. So maybe
Saint
that's not
day star. Day star.
So definitely. Maybe that's not the morning star, but the day star.
But it's trying to imitate the truth.
Yeah, Jesus actually refers to himself as the morning star in Revelation 22:16.
He's always the morning of the bride.
that he is, he's actually the morning star. This is another reference as the previous ones, where he said he promises Pergamos the hidden manna, which we know is him. He's the bread of life. Right. So he's promising those who follow him that they will be a part of him, that they will be, that they will, they will be with him. They will.
Now, all of a sudden, I'm thinking back on whenever God told Cain, you conquer sin, because his desire is for him, and he's supposed to conquer. Right?
Yeah.
And the Elohim in Genesis, making God making us in his own image, like, and now that we know good and evil, we become a little bit like more like him. Makes me think of how he conquers over darkness and death and sin and everything like that, right?
Yep.
So
when we're ruling and reigning with him, we're gonna be part of that, the fulfillment of that. We're gonna be living under the
Okay. Some of the study I was doing about the morning star and the other stuff. Morning star suggests this unfading, glorious brilliance, both for Jesus, Revelation 22:16, and here in Revelation 2:28, for us. The victorious King Jesus is a brilliant morning star in royal splendor, and he gives to every faithful believer the gift to be like him in royal splendor. The idea would be that the Lord's people will partake of his victorious glow in the heavenly realm, because we already can have a glow with him in us here now. But this is a victorious glow. Another scholar, Professor Robert Wall, says that it seems likely that the morning star is a symbol of those Christians who overcome by pointing to their future participation in the, and it kind of cut me off, but with the rule of God, because of the authority he's given us.
Yeah, there's a time where we know in the millennial reign, Christ is described as ruling, he rules with an iron scepter, that those who don't come and worship don't receive reign. And, you know, God's on earth, ruling and reigning. But also in the new heaven, new earth. How exactly that's going to look, I don't know. But it's very interesting. There's a promise that we will be share in his blessing, his authority, his
victorious triumph.
Yes. Against the adversary.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No.
Yeah. Yeah. So that pretty well wraps up what I have for Thyatira. Any questions? Anything you want to think we need to touch on or clarify? Or
it says here that the morning star is probably a reference to the eternal presence of Christ, which would be, you know, like all the light.
And if you do research, there's a lot of controversy of this and this, and they pull a bunch of scriptures in. But they, three of the scholars, all come to agree this part that I read is the most.
That seems
truth.
Pretty
well, I mean, if we're going to take the Word of God as the Word of God, then in Jesus' own words in Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star.
Yeah.
So he calls himself by those words.
Yeah.
Therefore, if we're going to receive the morning star, then that's Jesus.
Yeah.
It's interesting to think of being in God's presence as our reward. But when you're talking about a perfect being, like, I heard this analogy a few times, you know, an earthly father, the best thing the father can do is give time to his children, spend time with his kids. That's a flawed human being. And how much more so is that true of God, of the greatest thing he can give us is himself, is his presence, is, you know, being with us. That's what we have to look forward to. Well, I think that I don't think I have anything else. Now it's not even going to respond. But that's,
well, it could be low on battery.
It got weird. It got weird a couple minutes ago. I had to unhook it and put it back in, and it started working. Turn it off. So that does wrap up. That makes sense overall. That's pretty clear, and the parallels with the different ages of the church. Some people, we always want to maintain balance because some people get out of balance and they say, "Oh, it's entirely symbolic." Those church ages. No, these are actual places that existed. These are real people. Prophecy can have double fulfillments, triple fulfillments, multiple fulfillments can be.
I've found a lot of things in here on many levels. Yeah. And it's true for all of them. Mm-hmm. You know?
And only God can do that.
Yeah, God naturally does that. Like, he's so amazing that when he speaks, it's right on multiple levels.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's God. Right. We've been going roughly about an hour each time, and that's about where we're at. If we're ready, I will just go ahead and close us in a word of prayer, and I sure appreciate you all coming out tonight. Lord, thank you so much for the study, for your word. Lord, help us not to tolerate sin in our lives. Help us, Lord, expose it so we can get rid of it before you have to judge it. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us as a church to make sure that we keep our church clean, that we don't allow false teaching here. And Lord, we just pray your protection over us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So.